to find his destiny, his purpose, his fulfillment. His fulfillment. Yes. That's the idea. So man, according to God's vision of man, it was a cosmic man from the beginning. A cosmic man. I heard a scholar once say, at a university, addressing concepts, man's social concepts from a religious perspective. And he said, you must understand that Adam was formed, made in heaven. That he was made in heaven. Okay, on that note, let's see, can we conclude this talk on cosmic identity? We mentioned that from the cosmic identity, a cosmic place of man, he gets the disciplines for his life, for his survival. That those disciplines in his life that account for his form, the preservation of his form, and the progress of his form toward its purpose are cosmic founded disciplines. Now let's see, can we make that a little bit more understandable? Man gets a sense of perfect order from his perception of the cosmic order. There is no picture of perfect order stronger than the picture we get from a picture of the cosmic order. Allah speaks to that in the Holy Book and the Bible and in the Bible when he says how these bodies have been created and they follow set courses. Their courses are set so wondrously that man can direct his ship at sea by respecting the course of those things in the heavens. Huh? So man has benefited from the perfect working and order and courses of the heavenly body. He has benefited in the field navigation. Thank you. In the field of navigation. And not only that, not only on sea, but on land. If man, without any map, without any postmarks down here for direction, if he can see on a clear night the heavenly bodies, he can get his direction. He finds north, and if he finds north, he finds south. If he finds north and south, he can find east and west. Because if you face south, then you know to your right is west, to your left is east. If you're facing north, you know to your left is west, to your right is east. So if you find any one of those four directions, you can find the other three. Right? And the heavens will give you one of those directions. And not only the North Star, but there are other signs in heaven to give you those directions. They told us the North Star. But there are other signs to give the direction. Long after the sun has set. The light of the sun for a long time is still making its presence felt on the heavens, on the sky. And you know where the sun sets, it's east. Is west. Not only that, there are northern lights that come up in the night. Northern lights. So if on a clear night, if you can find the northern lights in heaven, they have a definite design. You will know that's north. So it's not only by the northern star. If there's a clear sky, there are many signs that can help us find direction. From the heavens. But greater than that, the heavens are the most impressive sign of the obedience that God wants from his creature. The sun gets up in the morning. It sets at night. It does that day after day after day and never complains. It has definite movements. It graces the east it graces the West on the rising, margin, or horizon, on the horizon of his right, and also on the horizon of his setting. Right? Over the year, it will make a bow to the north and a bow to the south. So Allah says, and he is the Lord of the two east and the two west. He is Lord of the two east and the two west. And the Christians say, and the sun crosses his own path. Yeah, it makes a cross. It crosses its own path. Over the year, it will come like that, and then it'll go like that, and make a big X or cross in the heavens in 1 year. Yes. And they say that the cross is that version of the Passover. Right? Oh, you don't know that? Well, it's true whether you know it or not. Yeah, it's Judaic Christianity. Judaic Christianity. The Jews have the Passover. We have the crucifixion of Jesus, the cross. And by him, you pass over. By him crucified, you pass over. By the cross, you pass over. And the Ku Klux Klan, they set the cross of fire and anger with you. They're angry with you. And they let you know, they demonstrate their anger by setting the cross of fire. To tell you, nigga, you don't know the meaning of this cross. It's a burning cross. It's fire. We the masters of it. You the blind sheep. Now, we know how to strike terror in you. We're going to burn it. Oh, they burn it on the cross. They know if they burn the cross, you know what they'll do to us. They have no fear of God. If they have fear of God, and they have knowledge of the cross. So they sit in the fire. To terrorize you, but to speak a message of wisdom to each other. Yes? When Jesus was lifted up, he was lifted up into the toward the sun. Now we know that really, scientifically, as you go up, the higher altitudes you're raised up into, the colder it gets. But that's not the picture that the crucifixion of Jesus gives us, according to their report. We know this is misinterpretation of Jesus' trials and tribulations. We Muslims don't buy it. The Quran condemns it. But I'm just giving you what they have given, because that's what has influenced your thinking and your behavior and everything. So the Bible, it doesn't give us the picture that he was raised up to altitudes of coolness. It appears that he was very hot. That raising him up made him hotter, for he thirsts. He thirsts. And some preachers say they would even give him a drop of water for his parched lips. So they had the idea that he was very hot up there. And we know the Passover, the sign of the Passover, was the cross of blood on the door of those that were to be saved. Yes? That's for the white man. That's for the man that seek racial dominance. This is for the natural man, black, white, or any color. This book is for the common man of all colors that will raise him from commonness to excellence. This is the book.
Yes.
Getting back to the concept, yes, of the cosmic
man identity.
Another great thing we see as Muslims, that Allah has definitely revealed religion for us and presented religion for us in a form that brings us into harmony with the cosmic reality. We find that the Islamic model of life resembles the cosmic order. Cosmic order has a nucleus, and all of its smaller parts have nucleus. Yes. The nucleus for our solar system is sun. That's why it's called sun system, solar system or sun system. It's at center, and everything else is orientated according to that relationship with that center. All the family of planets, including Earth and the moon, following too, though it is directly attached to the Earth in its orbital gravitation. So this is the cosmic world. So the Muslim has as the picture of its community life a circle. The center nucleus of that circle is the holy house in Mecca, the Kaaba. We all orientate ourselves toward that Kaaba. And in doing so, we form a circle for the whole Muslim, international Muslim community of Earth. If you had the ability to comprehend the picture, which you do, but maybe your interest won't allow you to. But if you were in a situation to do that, you could easily see the circle of Muslims focusing on one central point and making sajda in obedience to God, but not in obedience to God by directing themselves to God, because God is everywhere. Yes, God is everywhere. You can't look. God is there. Yes, he's there. He's there. He's everywhere. Here, everywhere. You think created matter occupies space that God can't occupy? Do you think when he created the world, he created something to shut him out of space? If he's in a specific space, then he created a world that limited his space. Right? Yeah, now would God, the all-knowing, the creator, create something that would limit his mobility, limit his space? Oh, he can't be everywhere. How come he can't? You're everywhere, you shouldn't be. In your behavior and in your thinking. Now, God is perfect and author of all of this. How come he can't be everywhere? That's the limit of your intellect. The limit of your narrow intellect limits your faith. See, cosmic man is intelligent man. When God first created man, he created an intelligence, not an emotional body. He created an intelligence. See, so really faith is preceded by intelligence. And that's why the scholars in Islam, they know what God says. It is the learned that best follow the guide. Yes. They're the ones that best follow the guide. It doesn't mean that the sincerity of the ignorant is not equal to the sincerity of the learned. You can be sincere, but walking in the wrong direction. Doesn't mean that you're not as sincere as the learned. But the learned are best situated to follow the path of God, the guidance of God. God created intelligence first.
He created a human being, and that's cosmic man. Cosmic man is man in his essence of intellect. Sense perception. Sense perception. Sense of order. Etc. So we have a beautiful model of the universal order in the daily disciplines of Muslim community life. Muslim community and the community life. Prayer is the most essential duty, the most dominant activity in the life of Muslim is his prayer. Now we know the first principle or the first pillar of our religion is Shahada or Shahadatun, to confess the oneness of God and also to confess the office of his human messenger. Human messenger. Not God man, human man messenger. You see? We know that that's the first. But that's a declaration. That's a declaration that influences even our prayer. We pray because of that the belief in that. That pillar is what makes us go through this orientation of prayer. Five daily prayers. Now, cosmic man inherited from cosmic order. Five senses intelligence. Intelligence. So we have five daily prayers corresponding with the five senses of man. To tell us that man, all scriptures, if I've read them correctly, in one way or another, tell man that there is a sacredness to his life, that there is a sanctuary of the human life, that he should watch God, be on watch for, to protect it against influences that may take it out of the holy and sacred form that God intended it to be in and to be kept in. Right? And watch. Huh? Watch. Keep the watch. And the Quran says, those who guard, that is to be guarded, those who watch over their own souls, etc., etc., right? So those scriptures tell us that. Okay, well, if you watch over the inherent worth of human life, picture it in a simple house that all of us direct ourselves to. If you understand that the house is a symbol of what is most vital to man as an individual being, and more importantly, as a society or a social community. If you understand it, house readily bring to our mind the first unit of social life. House. Home. There's a home, nobody lives in it. It's not for people to live in. That's not what it's for. It's there as a sign. It's there as a sign that the first house God created for you is yourself. Yourself. There yourself formed. Remember that boy I mentioned earlier? I forgot his name, but I called him the Wild Boy. Yes. The Wild Boy of Avignon. He's aware of it. He has told us. Now, that's the boy I'm talking about. Okay. I mentioned that boy earlier. How because he was not opportune, they had to have the opportunity to be associated with human models. He modeled himself after animals that he was associated with or around. Allah has given us a sign, a house. A house suggests not individual, but it suggests community life. It tells us that man as individual is formed by the situation of community. Man cannot form as an individual without a situation community. Been proven scientifically. So how are you going to preserve yourself as an individual? Keep before you community life. Community life. This world, when resources become scarce, when civilization becomes a burden on the planners, the policymakers, the city designers, etc., when it becomes a great burden because of overcrowding and not enough resources to get around everybody, what happens? They begin to alienate man from his own reality. They set influences in the culture to alienate you from your own reality. God has prepared for this and gave us the Kaaba, a simple house, as a symbol. And as long as we have this prayer orientation and understand that symbol as a symbol of man's unity and as a symbol of man's first identity, man is firstly a social being after he's a cosmic being. On earth, he's a social being. He's a cosmic being. Then God forms him, brings him to his fulfillment, to his purpose and reality on earth. In this home situation, he brings him there by way of social life. And the first unit of the social progression is home life. That's where our personality is formed. That's where we are formed. So a situation is needed. A condition is needed if we are to be formed in the body, in the identity that God wants us in on this earth. A situation is needed. We must have a social situation. And the most unestablished people socially is the African American man. The appreciation for his social purpose is neglected at home and in the public. Other people have more social solidarity in the home and in the public. Therefore, they are more equipped to challenge and compete and defeat us. Our money is not enough. They can make all of us rich with money today, tomorrow. And believe me, the white man will still be over us until we come into an orientation that God intended for ourselves as social beings, as cosmic creatures. We have to come into that kind of orientation. Look, the sun rises and sets. It tilts its head to the north and to the south. Makes bows of sajda. Allah says, and the sun and the moon make sajda. Yes, do that. Huh? Yes, do that. They make sajda. And then he say, man, make sajda to your Lord. Huh? Direct yourself to this house and make sajda to your Lord. And Allah says, though you be scattered, though you be dispersed, you won't carry the burden, the heavy burden of diaspora like the Jews. Says, because wherever you are, if you will just remember this house and turn you all toward this house. Say, wherever you be scattered, Allah will bring you together. So our unity, no matter how distant we are from each other, our unity is secured. Our solidarity is already preserved in that prayer orientation toward that house. This is the enlightenment that we need on self. You know, that's enlightenment on self. And when you see yourself, you know your Lord. Because you know good and deed well, you didn't create this cosmic order. And you can't master it. You know good and well, it birthed you and you're going to return to it. You were just here for and gone. You know that. So if you will face that reality, if you will face the truth of your small place in this great cosmic world, and then appreciate the role that God has given you in it, you will become God-fearing, you will know your Lord. Huh? That's what made me appreciate God so much. God, you made me a speck of dust in this cosmic world. I'm helpless. I'm born without my knowledge, and I die without knowledge. I come and I go in a fleeting moment. In a fleeting moment, I'm here and gone, God. But look what you have sensitized me with in this short, fleeting moment. Oh, you made me feel so wonderful. You've given me a place so big. You made the place of my nativity so big. You made the place of my death so big. Until I'm honored to live and die in the boundaries that you've set for me. Yes, I live with dignity, I die with dignity. And that's why Allah says in the Holy Quran, no, my prophet was never this despicable creature that they picture. He was honored at birth and honored the day he died. Huh? Yes, honored at birth and honored when he died. There's no shame in dying. Shoot. A funeral scene as big as the cosmic reality? Shoot. I love life in it and freedom in it, but hell, death ain't gonna make me weep. For all I know, my gene may survive in a particle of dust, and Wallace may spring up one day. Because God has given me hope. And the more I learn about the nature of this continuous order, a cycle of growth and death, the more I learn about it, the more I'm believing that a billion years will pass like that, and a change will come in the combination of dynamic factors of the universe. And this man may live again. He may live again to see his Lord even better. Yes, the Lord that has given the common man that hope must have a way to fulfill it. The Lord that gave man that hope must have a way to satisfy it. So don't become so scientific-minded, so secular in your thinking that you lose the promise, faith in the promise of God. Yes, I live to have more opportunity to prove myself in the field of testing. That's this life in this world. So I can qualify for greater promotion in the world beyond, or in the time beyond, because actually the space will be the same space. For Allah says in His paradise is the space equal to the space of the heaven and earth. And He says that when they behold it, they'll say, this looks like what we saw before. Now, if you want singing and dancing religion, I can understand you walking away from here and not declaring yourself secretly or publicly to be a Muslim, if you're not one. But if you're not looking for a song and dance religion, you're really looking for a real religion, I cannot understand you walking out of here. I don't care if you're a priest, a preacher. I don't care if you're the Pope. If the Pope was in here, I'd say, Pope, what's wrong with you? After hearing this, you're not going to declare yourself to be a Muslim? So you must like graveyard drama. You're entertained by graveyard drama. You know, I have to find something over there that's holding him. And you know, mystery and spookism has a strong attraction when you don't have knowledge. Now, I'm not going to say that man think the Pope is dumb. No, I know he's extremely wise. I know that. They would not even accept him to be in that position. The bishops, cardinals, they wouldn't accept him to be in that position until they had proof that he was extremely wise. I know that. But if he would turn down this religion after he presented like this, I would say, well, you must have a secret commitment, and this thing you keep doing is an act that you carry on of necessity. for your situation. I hope the fear come off you, Pope. That's what I say to him. I must be act, because you're doing telling, I know you cannot walk out of here and not be changed. But see, and this problem in self-view and self-identity, we're going to discuss at a later time, another time. But the reason why men of great knowledge, of great intellects, can continue to serve falsehood, and that's serving falsehood. Once you learn truth and you don't change before the world eye, you are serving falsehood. Yes. Now you may be serving falsehood and truth at the same time, but that's double-mindedness. Right? That's double-minded. That's deceit. That's weakness. Cowardice. We are going to talk about how man, in searching for the answer, the end reality for himself, become blinded by his own subject. If his interest leaves the big picture and gravitate toward the small picture, which is himself. You know, the Gnostics of Christianity, they misinterpreted Jesus Christ and his mission on this earth. Peace be upon the prophet Jesus Christ. They misinterpreted the mission, and they held the world in ignorance for hundreds of years. Before their people were enlightened by the insights of Quranic revelation, and then looked again to see if they had misread or misinterpreted or gone astray from the direction of the gospel. And they discovered they had. And there was Martin Luther born. The mind of Martin Luther was born. And women began to be respected. Women began to be accepted in society. Women began to be given the rights of education. The slave had to be liberated. Why? It took them centuries, 1,000 years or better, for them to rightly apply Christianity. Why it took them all that time? How come they had to wait for the liberation movement to be established on the peninsula of Arabia and to conquer darkness there, beat back Jahiliyyah, the heathenism there, and establish a civilization par excellence there before they come into an understanding of the real direction and the real application of Christianity for themselves? Why? They missed the mark. Their ignorant, pious, Gnostic leaders missed the mark. They thought that Christianity was an exercise that to train man's divinity, his muscles of divinity, to bring him into God consciousness. So that's all what they were all about. And they thought that the few men with the divine spark was chosen to be the caretakers and the masters of the world and to keep the ignorant in check. Those who without that spark, keep them in check. Hold them in slavery. It was slavery. It was slavery. They had slavery for the masses. Common man was a slave under that Christian rule. And only those with divine spark, those that they considered to have divine spark, illumined intellect, illumined by the Gnostic idea, the Gnostic ideology, their perception of the Bible, revelation, of Jesus' light, the Gnostic concept. If you didn't have that, then you were common animal man, and you were to be treated as such, and not included in the circle of society, but used as beast of burden. That was their idea. And their women didn't have the soul, the spark, so they weren't to be included either. They would just be used for procreation, but not to be given the dignity of the human being. It was just recently that they got the rights to vote in the United States. Huh? So now they associate us in our misery with women. Right? The plight of the woman and the plight of the black man. Slave and female slaves. That's what they mean. Our former female slave and our black African slave. I hope I've been of some good to you today, some use. So God willing, as we say inshallah, at the next meeting, we'll begin with man gravitating toward the narrow circle and blinded by his own illusions of himself and his importance, where that brings man down, but the worship of the one Lord brings him up. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum. Please be seated and give the imam time to leave.